Good morning, everybody. I'm a bit overwhelmed today because it's all you lot. It's all you lot. So while we're all still coming through the doors, just have a look around to see who's in the building, because some of you in the front won't realise there's a whole lot of other people come in the back. So just out of interest, for who is this the first time or the first time in many years of being here? Yeah, got a couple. And Colin, just hurry up and sit down, please. You could be deaf when you want to, can't you? Yeah, I know. I thought I'd... Isn't it so nice when you get permission from your elders? We have a standard joke between us. He's old enough to be my father. In fact, he is the same age. He was born the same year as my father, so he can do what he likes. He can do no wrong in my eyes. Let's pray before we get into any more trouble. Lord, it is a wonderful thing to come into the presence of loving people, smiling faces, and even more wonderful to come into your presence and to your smiling face. We pray that you would give us faith today to know that's what you're doing. We may be singing songs of worship to you, but you are singing songs of joy over us. What a blessed place to be. Thank you for this time together. Speak to us. Bless us that we may be a blessing, that we may go out full of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Amen. Now, because we are alive, we have notices. Oh dear. For those listening to this or watching this, only part of the congregation are alive. So for those who are, these are the notices, all right? Oh good, there's a few more alive now. We've woken them up. Next week, while I remember, if I was standing here next week, I'd be getting extremely wet because this will be opened next Sunday. And we have a baptism. Jamie Gagg is being baptized. I encourage you to pray for him. Debbie's helped him write out his testimony, which is wonderful. Can't wait for you to hear it. And it's just lovely to hear people's stories of how they've come to faith. And so that's happening next week. We do need help emptying the baptistry. We have a pump and we have buckets, we have various things, and we also have a couple of people going to look and think we might get a better pump. But in the meantime, it's a team effort. And so I would ask two things. One, Andrew needs a hand after the service today to move a couple of planks and things, so we'll do that. So somebody, one or two guys, if they could help Andrew at the back, which would be great. But next week we need people to empty water and do the things and so on. And there's a sign-up list on the table outside. So if you could please sign up there, if you can help, that'd be great. I'm pleased to say, you may have noticed, spring is on its way. Has anybody noticed? Yes, just a few flowers. So I asked Debbie if she would now let us have what we've been waiting for, which is a guide to walk around our Psalm 23 garden. And so that's now here. So we've got some on the table outside, also some in the CrossLink Centre. You could take one of these and walk round the garden, walking round Psalm 23. So do make the most of the opportunity. The flowers have started coming out. It's been beautifully created over a long period of time. It's evolved, thanks to all those who've been involved. But now is the time to make use of it. For those who didn't know we had a garden, it's behind the car park. But do make use of that. Mark, could you just give us a quick notice about deacons, nominations, etc., and the directory.
Good morning. As from this morning, we will be seeking nominations for people to stand for election to the diaconate on our AGM on the 19th of March. Nomination forms are available from me after the service, and completed forms need to be returned to me by Sunday the 3rd of March. Andrew Hamilton and Andrew Worth are the retiring deacons and are willing to stand for renomination, provided their forms are taken and filled in. Secondly, there will be a new directory coming out in the spring. I know that Joan and Sheila have been telling people to check their addresses that are out on the table in the vestibule. If you haven't already checked your address that is printed out, please do so after the service. Tick if it's correct and amend if necessary. If you aren't in the directory and would like to go into the new church directory, please fill out your details on the blank sheet provided. Thank you very much.
So hopefully that will work. David and Rowena would like to say a big thank you for all the help with Messy Church, praying and coming supporting and so on, which was great. We also had the opportunity to, do you want to stand up and just have a look? David will show you. The time has been right to offer children, our families, Bible reading notes, and for those who haven't got them, Bibles. And there's been a great take-up. Now is the right time. So those were given out yesterday, and some more are going to be given out to Girls Brigade and so on. So thank you again for your prayers for our children. God is doing great things amongst them, which is great. Lastly, we have sad but happy news, and this is Renee Hutchings. You know that we've mentioned before that she went home from hospital to die at home, and she went to glory at 6:30 this morning. Could you put the next slide on, please? So that's Renee. That's on her 100th birthday with her cake. And she insisted yesterday that she did not want to stay in bed, that she wanted to get into her chair. And that's the only place I've ever seen her. I've never seen Renee anything else other than in that chair, because she's been there a long time. And she has been radiating God's glory to all who visited for a long time. I've said, I've been to see her the last 5 years, and she's always been there. And that's where she wanted to be. And I rang David and Josie, her good friends, this morning, and told them the news, and they said, good. And that's the right answer, isn't it? Because she went home to go to glory, and she's gone peacefully in her own home. And we thank God for her. And I thought before I start, we've got a call to worship in a moment, which I'm going to bring from the psalm. It would just be good to have a moment of quiet to look at a beautiful sister who we will see again by God's grace. Lord, we thank you for our sister Renee. We thank you for her shining your light. We thank you that her hope and all those who put their faith in you is the same. That when this life is over, we will be with you in glory. And we thank you that this is what has happened for Renee. And we are the ones who are sad, but she is not. Amen. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Our theme for our worship this morning is that God is good. God is good. Feel free as we sing songs and pray to sit, to stand, to bring a prayer, a word of praise, a spiritual gift. This is a time to be with the Lord together. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever, for he is good. He's above all things. His love endures forever.
Song to have one.
How often do you say hey in church, isn't it? Our God is an awesome God.
Thank you. give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me vision. You know just what to do. God, I look to you. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. Hallelujah, hallelujah, of God reigns. Hallelujah, of God reigns. Hallelujah, of God reigns. Forever, all my days, hallelujah. Hallelujah, of God reigns.
We will be singing Praise the Lord all our days on earth and our days eternity in heaven. This is our future and our present. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Please be seated. We'll take up our offering now. If you're visitors, feel free to let the bag pass by unless you really want to give to the work here. We're just so pleased to see you. This is our opportunity to express love for God in a material way. That you are good and you are generous. You have provided us with so much, and from all that you have given, we give you these gifts, that others may come to know you, to know that you are good. Amen. Right, it's time to bless our children. So Angela, do you just want to come up the front and then people know who you are and decide whether or not you're to be trusted with the children? Isn't it good that today's subject is forgiveness? I needed a great deal. And who's working with you today?
Dawn.
She's hiding somewhere. Are you in the back row? The children aren't that bad. They really aren't. So, Father, we thank you for our children of all ages. And we thank you for the children that are going to be with Angela and Dawn there. Learning about forgiveness. What a wonderful thing to be forgiven and to forgive others. We pray you bless them now. Amen. Amen. Feel free to go if you want to, or not, whichever. And just to say, it's great to have Seth and Jacob and Nikki and Chantel with us. And we've got Harry going out and Lily. Bless Lily. So what a day. Oh yeah, Connie's gone. Yes, she's gone, that's right. Good, the patter of tiny feet up the stairs, perfect, that's what we like. We have something really exciting today. Anybody can see from the distance what that says on it? Anybody who's close enough to see? Adam, can you see? No, can't see that. Sorry? Prayer ministry. Excellent, someone's got good eyesight. Last year, in fact some time ago now, someone said at a church meeting, it'd be really good to have people available to pray with people after the service. Because you know what happens? God speaks to you and you need to do business with God, and sometimes it's helpful to have someone else there to share that with and so on. And we've been preparing this for some time. Things were delayed a bit last year for lots of different reasons. But we had, the time is now right for our prayer ministry to start. And the idea really is very simple, and that is probably almost always after the service, but sometimes during, that it's important to have that opportunity to perhaps to go to someone to pray with. You may already know people in the congregation that you pray with. A lot of people after the service are clustered here in different places praying with one another, and that's very much great, and that we want that to continue. But sometimes it's good to pray for someone who isn't a relative or your best friend. And also there are other people coming to our church amongst us today who don't know anybody here, but they might like someone to pray with them. And if you've noticed, what I'm saying is praying with them, not for them. And this is not intercession, where we pray for other people. This is prayer ministry, which is praying with people. And there is a difference. So what we're doing, as people, we'll invite people after the service, you want you to come forward, and then the people that are here can meet you wearing these. If they're wearing this, the badge, then they're on duty that day. And we'll find either sit here or here on the front row. And someone will just hear what you've come forward for, if you know. And then they'll be asking the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do in your life, to bless you. And that's what we mean by praying with. It's not us praying for you. It's us helping you come into God's presence and asking the Holy Spirit to bless you. The guys who are doing this have been trained. It's not complicated, but they've been trained. They've also experienced this prayer, type of praying, on the Holy Spirit Day we had last year, and a lot of them in the Alpha course as well. And so that's the idea. Each Sunday, those in the team, if they're available, will put one of these on, and after the service, as I say, if you'd like to have someone pray with you, then just come to the front, and we'll do that. We're not a counselling service. It's not in depth. If there's something that quite clearly needs more time, then the person praying with you, either with me or someone else, will arrange a time to do that. It's rather like, as people have described it, it's a GP appointment, not a consultant's referral. So that comes later. So this is a first call, and then we think, actually, yeah, we need some more, you know, here. And sometimes you go away from the GP straight away, other times you need to be referred on, and that's what we're doing. Is that sort of clear? Do feel free to ask me and the others who I'm going to ask now to come forward. This is the bit they really hate, but you need to do it because we need to pray for you. So all those who are serving in prayer ministry at the moment, we gave an open invitation last year for anyone who's interested to speak with Leslie and I, because Leslie's heading this team up, to speak with us. And so people came forward last year to do that. And we also asked Diane, if she would join as well, and mid to our Holy Spirit Day, who's joined us recently and is experienced in this type of prayer. So they are experienced people, but they're not super duper prayer experts. So could the ordinary prayer ministers please come forward, please, and find yourself on the front step. Leslie, I know you hate this bit, but you've got to do it. Come forward, that's it, come forward. Good, we're all here. Find a space, come up to the next step if you need to. That's right, Sheila, come in the front. We don't want you falling over the steps. You've got the poshest frock on, so the... Can you move along a bit, Joseph? Right. Okay. Now, I just need to have a good look at this. Did you ever see such a wonderful group of people? And Dee is way. And I'll look at me list. I've got a list. You know me and Liz. It's just Dee. Dee's not here, so she's giving her apologies. So, can we pray for your prayer team, please? Just any number of you, just let's pray for them.
Dear Father, speak to them in your love and grace. Lord, speak to them that matters of the church will be here for those who do not know you. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity. We ask you to bless it. May it go from strength to strength.
Thank you for the humility of these, of your children, our sisters and brothers. Indeed, we pray, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Lord, pray for Bessie and Leslie as she heads up this team. We thank you for her. Thank you for her wisdom and experience. But we thank you for above all for our heart, which is for you and your people. Lord, may we work together as a body, ministering to one another, as you have created us to be. Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come each week to offer our services, make us humble, Jesus. Help us to listen to you and to remember that none of this is done in our strength. We can only do this with the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you very much. Do please have a seat. And guys, after the service, if you're available for duty today, these lanyards will be at the back. Thank you. We try and keep things simple, so it's a good plan, isn't it? Because none of us want things complicated. David, could you come up, please? Sorry, I've just realised, completely wrong, David, sorry. I'm giving you exercise you don't need. As you come up, have a seat. We've got a hymn first, my apologies. That's what happens when you don't look at your script. We've got a wonderful, powerful song there that Keith Getty and Stuart Townend wrote that Dave and Rowena have introduced us to before. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. And that's a wonderful thing. So let's feel free to sit or stand as we pray this prayer.
To receive the food.
Father, we thank you for David. We thank you for the word that you've given him. Pray you bless him with freedom and faith as he shares this word with us. Help us hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may have noticed I wasn't singing that song, and in fact I don't sing any of the songs if I'm going to preach, because I have a certain limit on how long I can either sing or preach, and I do one or the other. So it's interesting, though. I don't recommend you all do this next week, but if just occasionally you don't sing and listen and follow the words, you actually, or I do, take in what they're saying a lot more, and it's a blessing of a different kind. So there you go. Well, now, we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. When the Bible was written over many years by many different writers, most of them wrote in ordinary, continuous praise. When Paul wrote his letters, he didn't put in chapters and verses. And so sometimes they are helpful, but often they cause confusion or are unhelpful, and that's the case here in 1 Corinthians, because chapters 5 and 6 are in fact very much one large paragraph with a similar theme. The theme being temptation, but specifically sin in the church and in the individuals of the church. Now, this is getting a little bit near the knuckle when we talk about sin in our lives. But if you get home this afternoon, read chapter 5 and 6, it's pretty hard-hitting stuff. The sort of sin that was going on in the Corinthian church was very similar to the sins in the society of the day. And Paul is basically giving them a good telling off. But fortunately for us, no, not fortunately, the Lord had planned and put in Paul's mind to give him a key to unlock their behavior, their thought patterns that led to it, their temptations that brought the sins about. And so, rather than read that chapter, because of time, I'm going to just concentrate on the key that Paul gives us here at the end of the chapter. And it's right there on chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And Paul is using here a very simple illustration. He reminds them of the temple that they would all have been very well aware of in Jerusalem. The temple that had been at the heart of God's people's faith way back since they were using a tabernacle when they wandered the desert. And then when they settled down, God gave them a specific design of the temple. And it was a marvelously created place of great beauty and expense and wonder. And a place where God's people went to meet with him and to worship him. And what Paul is telling the Corinthians here and us today is that since Pentecost, our bodies are the dwelling place of God. If you're a believer, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, of God himself. Now, I don't know how that affects you, but that is a sobering thought, that God Almighty, who we worship in these wonderful hymns and songs this morning, in all his holiness and splendor and glory and might and authority, lives inside you as a Christian believer. It amazes me. It excites me. And it also challenges me. And because God lives in you, as you are filled with and are going on being filled with the Holy Spirit, therefore, everywhere you go, everything you do, everything that touches you in life, in effect, touches God. And that is why Paul tells these Corinthian Christians and us this morning that we are the temples of God, to remind us of this awesome truth. But an awesome truth with some tremendous responsibility and challenges. You see, when God gave his plans for the tabernacle and later for the temple, he set forth in no uncertain terms the plain fact that he demanded purity in the materials and construction of its building. He would never fill it with his glory if it was unclean in any way. And I think you're just beginning to get where Paul is taking us in this. He is drawing comparisons between these earthly, fleshly body temples of ours and the physical temple that stood in Jerusalem. And there are several comparisons between our bodies and the original temple of God. And it is that common ground that we shall look at this morning under the heading, "It may be your body, but it's now God's temple." And first of all, we're reminded in Scripture, and I will refer to lots of scriptures, I haven't time to read them all, but this is taken from the gamut of Scripture. And the first place the temple was in Jerusalem, and you are, as a temple of the Holy Spirit, it's a place of dedication. The earthly temple was a place wholly dedicated to God and his glory. Nothing that defiled was allowed in, because the earthly temple, from its very conception, was a place set apart for God and his glory. And likewise, these earthly bodies we dwell in, if we are believers, are also to be set apart for God and his glory. How does that make you feel? God has set you apart for his glory. And according to our text from Paul, no Christian believer has the right to use his or her body for anything than that which glorifies the Lord. That's an awesome thought, but more so an awesome responsibility. And the reason is, says Paul, he gives it there in the last few words, is that we have been bought with a price. Jesus went to Calvary and paid the price for our sins as he died upon the cross. And when we came to faith, we came to him by faith in his shed blood, we entered into a covenant relationship with him, a covenant of salvation. And a covenant is a pledge between two people. And in that relationship, God has promised to love us, to keep us, provide for us, and ultimately take us to heaven to spend eternity with him, as Rini is discovering now. Our promise was to turn from sin and to follow him totally in truth. And when we came to Jesus for salvation, we gave up all claims to our own bodies and what we desire to do with it. Oh, within certain bounds, God gives us freedom. He doesn't say when we get up in the morning, you can do this, that, and the other. But he gives us the parameters of his relationship in which we can do things. But one of the things also that is taught very clearly in Scripture is that until we get to glory, we are going to sin. We are going to fail. We do mess up. But when we do, Scripture says very clearly, we must keep a short account of our sin and come in repentance and confession and ask for forgiveness. I wonder, how often do you do that? We know we live such busy lives. When I was a teenager and became a Christian, went through a discipleship class with my minister, the Reverend Adams in those days, and there was a lot of us sitting around a table, and one of the first things he said to us was, you need to learn, young people, because we were mostly young people, he said that the reason when you come to church on a Sunday is that it's very hushed and quiet, with the organ playing, because in those moments before church on Sunday is the moment for you to check up on your life of the last week and own up on your sins and ask for forgiveness, repent and receive it. I've never forgotten that. And one other thing he taught, there's only two things I remember. He talked to us wonderfully about the atonement, but that's for another day. But today is a reminder. A reminder that we need to keep a short account with God. We just don't have time to do it very often. I was talking to somebody in coffee. They're not here, and they won't mind me saying this. We were just talking about this, and this person was saying, you know, David, we don't do it enough. We're just so caught up in life. So we're going to pause now. I want you to close your eyes, please. And I want you to use the next few moments just to cast your mind back over the last period of time, however long the Spirit says, Think of the things you've done and said and thought and the temptations you've given into. And confess your sins. Not openly, no open prayer, private prayer in our hearts. This is a personal thing with God. Confess our sins. Say we're truly sorry in repentance and receive his forgiveness. A few moments of quiet and of peace to do that. John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Technology isn't working, so we'll not worry. I'll read the words that were going to be sung to us. I won't sing it to you. It's not, wouldn't be pleasant. We were going to sing, I am accepted, I'm forgiven. I'm fathered by the true and living God. I'm accepted. Thank you. You see, why I had that sung so we could listen to it is to realize that when we do repent, confess our sin, it does something wonderful to our spirits. It gives us joy and peace, and it refreshes our relationship with God. And my friends, we all need to refresh our relationship with God. It so easily gets stale. Believe me, I know. As I'm sure most of you do. The second thing the Bible tells us about our bodies as the temple of the Lord is that they're a place of devotion. The temple was the place where men gathered to worship God. It was a place where songs were sung, prayers were prayed, hands were raised. And God was magnified. Temple was a place of worship. Psalm 56 stresses the importance for frequent worship and of fellowship with the Lord. Because worship feeds the soul. I don't know how it does it, but I experience it as I'm sure you do. You can come in the morning and feel, ugh. And you can go out at the end of the service and feeling, wow, life again. Because worship is better than a swim in the sea in the winter. And just as that Old Testament temple was devoted to God as a place of worship, these bodies of ours are to be places where God is worshipped, not just on Sunday, but for the way we live for him, holy lives. The truth is, our bodies will render worship to one God or another. These Corinthian believers, read it, you'll understand what I'm saying, with their mouths they acknowledged Jesus, but then with their bodies they participated in the worship of Diana. Modern day gods people worship include money and things and reputation and sport. Have you ever watched, before turning it off, football on television and seen how enthusiastic the crowds get as they worship the ball being kicked around? I mean, it seems silly when you say it like that, but have you seen their fervour, their enthusiasm? They're all caught up in it. How fervent do we live for God? fervent do you live for God? Well, how can I worship God with my body in a way that will really change things? Well, first of all, present it as a living sacrifice. If I had time, and time is going so quickly, I won't quote it. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Read it at home. It reminds us there of our baptism covenant with God to use our body for nothing that will dishonor or degrade his name. So present your body as a living sacrifice, says Paul. That means it's costly to live an upright, godly life. And how do we do it? Well, by prostrating ourselves in prayer. The Jews used to actually do that, as some other religions do. But Jeremiah exhorts us to take our body aside from the world and to go to the Lord in prayer on a regular basis. Nothing glorifies or pleasing the Lord quite like people who trust him enough to call on him in prayer on a regular daily basis and set aside a time to do it. How's your prayer life? And then we're urged to practice his presence. Never forget that Jesus is ever with you. Learn to walk in the knowledge of his abiding presence. If you will stop and just consider that Jesus is there in the moment and he is watching, if we just consider that, it will prevent us from engaging in any thoughts or activities that would dishonor his name. And read chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians and see how they failed to do that and the trouble it got them into. Then next, we're encouraged to praise him continually. Psalm 47 exhorts us to determine in our heart that we will not let any circumstance of life or any bump in the road stop us from having a thankful heart of praise before the Lord. And of course, the psalmist is a wonderful role model for that. And then the scriptures encourage us to place our bodies in his hand for service. Romans 6:16 reminds us that if we will yield our bodies to one master or another, we do have a choice. It will either be the gods of this world, the flesh and the devil, or it'll be Almighty God. We have to actually do this on a regular basis. The world seeps in subtly into believers' lives and just takes the edge off faith, just lowers its temperature, robs us of our joy in the Lord. Yield yourself to the Lord on a daily basis, and he will use you for his glory, and he will bless you. If there was time, I was going to stop for a time of reflection here, but we'll just move on to look at one more thing. And then, because our body is a temple of the Lord, it's a place of duty. A place of duty. The temple was a place where men carried out the duties they had been given by the Lord. Things such as sacrifice, The tithe, the offerings and prayers were all carried out at the temple. It was a place where duties were performed. And these fleshly temples of ours are also places where we are to carry out the duties we have been given by God. We call it Christian service. And we need to adopt the same mindset as the great Apostle Paul, who, even though God was using him to pen the scriptures and preach the gospel under mighty manifestation of divine power, Paul still referred to himself as a servant. The word that Paul uses for that is bondslave, one who has made a conscious decision to give the totality of himself to Jesus and to his will. And that leads to a path of happiness. Half-hearted Christians have no joy. On-fire believers enjoy their faith, make a difference in the world, and enliven the church. Are you on fire for the Lord still? The devil's got a lot of fire lighters to put the flame of our love down to low burner. We're going to end by just asking that question. Because it may be your body, but it's now God's temple. How are you using it? How are you enjoying using it? How are you enjoying being this awesome temple in which the Holy God, Almighty Himself, by His Holy Spirit, if you are a believer, is living in you today, and your body, my body, is not our own, because it's now His temple.
Thank you, David. Let's pray. Lord, in many different ways, we may have dedicated ourselves to you at one point or another over time. Some of us may never have come to that place where we put our faith in you and dedicated ourselves to you. Lord, we do this today for the first time, or we do it again, that we, Lord, are yours. You've given your body on the cross that we might be forgiven and free. And so we belong to you. We have been bought with a price. We dedicate ourselves to you. Help us to be devoted to you in worship. And all that means, as David has explained to us, loving you, loving others, serving you. And Lord, you do have duties for us, not to earn your favour, not religious duty to impress anybody, but you have called us to use the gifts that we've been given, to use the talents we've been given, to serve you, to serve others. So Lord, we pray that by your Holy Spirit we would be devoted to you and will fulfill all the duties that you have called upon us. And thank you that you don't leave us alone to struggle. You're here with us now, and you give us your Holy Spirit to help us do this. And you give us one another to spur one another on to love and good deeds. Thank you that we can be part of this body and other bodies of your people across the world to encourage them and to receive their encouragement. Amen. Amen.
It's very appropriate that with David's message that we started our prayer ministry work today. Because there may be one or two of you who think, I really want to seal this today and I'd like to pray with somebody. So, as I said, do come forward, sit on the front row, and those who've been trained will just have a word in pairs, will just have a word and say, would you like us to pray with you? So if you know that's you, you'd like to have somebody pray with you, do come forward in a moment. We're going to finish our service with a beautiful song, which I hope will stay with you through the day, ringing in your ears in a good way. Lord, make me a mansion. Show us, Andrew, or are we just going to talk to the children separately?
No, but they've all done something separate.
Right, we'll have a look in a moment. Thank you. So, Lord Jesus, send us out in the power of your Holy Spirit to live and work to the Father's glory. Amen.
Amen.